Chapter 10. Ianto gradually woke up to the unfamiliar sensation of someone in the bed with him, their arms wrapped around him. The confusion lasted only a couple of seconds before he remembered the previous night, and Jack. A huge smile crept over his face, until he registered what Jack was saying as he nudged him gently with his nose. "I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but it is 7 in the morning, and you did mention something about work." Ianto woke up and was out of the bed in seconds. He'd never overslept in his life before, unless you counted the coma, of course, and just the thought of being late for work for the first time ever had him in a flap. He heard Jack laugh and say something about getting breakfast started as he dived into the bathroom and started the shower. He calmed down a little while he was taking a shower and couldn't stop smiling as he remembered what had happened. Dear God, but he had made up for the previous year's abstinence with a vengeance. He hurriedly stopped thinking about it when his body showed unmistakable signs of reacting to the memories, and he remembered that he just didn't have the time to get distracted. Toweling himself dry, he grabbed some clothes and got dressed, ruthlessly getting his hair under some semblance of control, and then putting on his watch and cufflinks as he went downstairs. The smell of toast and coffee drew him into the kitchen, where he was faced with the delightful, if highly distracting, sight of a naked Jack putting some scrambled eggs on the toast and bringing the plates to the table. He was a little taken aback to see Jack freeze when he first saw him, and for a moment he thought the plates would go crashing to the floor. "Are you all right?" he asked as he grabbed them and placed them safely on the table. "Yeah." Jack still sounded a little dazed as he looked at him, but then he shook himself and grinned. "Yeah, I'm fine. You just took me by surprise. That is one sexy outfit." Ianto blinked at him in surprise, then looked down and realized that he had unconsciously selected what Gordy had nicknamed his man-trap suit. The jet-black suit was cut to show off rather than disguise his figure. He'd originally thought that the dark blue shirt and black tie made him look sober and dull, so it had come as a bit of a shock to discover that it seemed to uniformly bring out the latent sex maniac in anyone who saw him in it. He'd worn it a couple of times in the hope that the effect would wear off, but then a visiting librarian who was old enough to be his grandmother had got the same look in her eyes as Gordy and the girls, and Ianto had retired it to the back of the wardrobe with some haste. "Damn, why did I pick this one?" he muttered in annoyance. He glanced at his watch. "I don't really have time to change." "No!" Jack yelped. When Ianto gave him a startled look, Jack put his hands together in a prayer position and did his best to look beseeching. "Please don't. We're going out tonight, remember?" Ianto hadn't realized that Jack still wanted them to go out, so he shrugged and nodded before happily tucking into breakfast. It was a treat to have someone cook for him, and he went to give Jack a kiss of thanks, only to have the other man dodge. He gave him an uncertain look, but Jack reached up to stroke his cheek reassuringly. "No offense, Ian, but if you kiss me wearing that outfit, you'll never get out of the house. Save it for tonight, and trust me, I will more than make up for it." Feeling a pleasant flutter in his stomach, Ianto left for work, leaving Jack to take a leisurely shower before he dressed and went downstairs to do the washing up. After that, he spent the day wandering around Aberystwyth and doing some hard thinking. So far he had failed to trigger Ianto's memories, although he'd tried several of the more obvious triggers. He'd been pretty confident that the sex would be the trigger, and at one point he had felt Ianto freeze up on him and he thought it was over. Leaning on the promenade railings, he stared unseeing out to sea. The problem, the big problem, was that he was now in two minds as to whether or not he wanted to trigger Ianto's memories any more. He wanted Ianto back. He wanted him desperately, since he was rapidly realizing that Ianto had been every bit as much as a talisman for him as he had been for Ianto. Somewhere along the line they had become interdependent, but Jack had had to leave before he had realized it. Now Ianto had built a new life for himself, one that had no need for Jack Harkness, and Jack was honest enough to question whether or not he had the right to force the issue. When it came down to it, what the hell could he offer Ianto? At the moment, Ianto seemed to have a job he loved, friends who cared for him, and a life free from trauma. All Jack could offer was a thankless job, memories that had nearly crushed him and himself. and he wasn't so conceited that he felt that to be a fair exchange. He would destroy this marvellous phoenix that had managed to arise out of the old Ianto's destruction for purely selfish reasons, because he didn't want to walk the path he had chosen on his own. "Face it, Harkness, you're one selfish bastard," he muttered as he made his way back to the house to change. When he got to the library, he entered a little warily, since he had forgotten to ask Ianto precisely where he worked in the building. Seeing a pretty young girl seated behind the main reception desk, he went up and gave her his most winning smile. "Hi, the name's Jack Harkness. I'm here to meet Ianto Jones." Her welcoming smile froze, and Jack was suddenly reminded of a small kitten who had spotted a moving object. He automatically looked over his shoulder before he realized that he was indeed the object of her fixed interest. "Is something wrong?" he asked. "Oh, no, nothing's wrong," she said, just a shade too quickly and heartily for Jack to believe her. "If you'll just give me a minute, I'll go and check for you." She disappeared, leaving Jack to quickly check to see if his flies were undone, or to wonder if he had an uncanny resemblance to some serial killer known in the area. Movement out of the corner of his eye had him turning his head to see a small knot of people gathered at the far end of the room, eyeing him in what they fondly thought was a covert manner. He recognized them and relaxed with an inner grin, the mystery solved. He was getting the once-over from Ianto's friends. The broad streak of mischief in his makeup came to the fore as a tall blonde man came towards him. "Hi," he said cheerfully. "Is Ianto ready?" "He has some last-minute things to take care of," the blonde said in a carefully neutral voice. He was giving Jack a once-over that had just the slightest hint of belligerence to it. "Captain Jack Harkness," Jack said, cheerfully throwing petrol on the fire with an especially expansive smile and hearty handshake. "So I gather. Name's Gordon Ellis," the blonde said with reluctant courtesy, returning the handshake with a firm one of his own. "You seem to have made quite an impression on Ianto. Up here for just the week, aren't you?" "That's right. I'm here to look up an old friend, and Ianto caught my eye." Jack laughed silently at the way Gordon bristled at his tone, but he was also a little pleased to see that Ianto had fiercely protective friends. "Did he now? And you'll be leaving us after that and going back to the States?" There was still a smile on Gordon's face, but Jack got the impression that it was there with an effort. "Not sure yet. I guess it depends on what happens in the next few days," Jack said honestly. A subdued hissing from the group brought Gordon's head around to look at the frantic signal being sent to him. He swung back to Jack. "Okay, I don't have time to be subtle," he said grimly. "Just you be careful you don't hurt him, all right? No wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, or so help me, we'll find some way to make you pay." He hissed fiercely as Ianto appeared through one of the doors and started to come towards them. Jack barely heard him. The sight of Ianto in that particular suit walking towards him with a wary look on his face awoke all kinds of memories, some good and some bad. It also woke the desire that was never far away when it came to the young Welshman. He felt Gordon's hand on his arm and focused on him with some difficulty. To his surprise, there was an odd look on Ellis's face, almost one of surprised compassion. "Looks like Ianto's not the only one who got caught," he said softly. He backed off as Ianto arrived, calling out something in Welsh that had the wary look vanish from Ianto's face, to be replaced by one of mischief. Whatever he called back had Gordon giving him a shocked look, and the girls in the group burst out laughing. Then Ianto was beside him, and Jack didn't care about anything else, because he was too busy trying to suppress the idea that maybe he should just drive Ianto somewhere and make love to him right away. "Are you all right?" Ianto asked innocently. Jack swallowed and nodded. It was going to be a long evening. The restaurant was expensive and very romantic. Ianto was a little nervous at first, and Jack realized it was because he was worried that the sight of two men dining together in romantic circumstances might attract the wrong kind of attention. Abandoning his plans to be mischievous, Jack behaved himself impeccably, earning him a grateful smile from Ianto that almost made up for the growing sexual frustration he was feeling. The food was excellent, the service unobtrusive, and the conversation got easier as Ianto relaxed. I Got some time off, Ianto said when dessert finally arrived. I had to check first, so I didn't say anything. But I've got the rest of the week off. I know you have your workmate to track down, but I thought maybe you'd like to see a few of the local sights, he finished shyly. Jack gave him a delighted look, even as he plotted ways of making sure he didn't have to waste time tracking down a non-existent person. I'd love that. I popped into a tourist office today and caught up on a few places. Did you ever consider working in the tourist industry? He asked, holding his breath. Ianto shrugged as he made inroads into his lemon sorbet. Not really. I was almost always more interested in books, but I suppose it's still a job with a lot of people contact, which is always good. What about you? Feeling the same conflicting emotions of relief and irritation, Jack neatly deflected the conversation back onto a neutral topic, dropped a couple more leading questions as they finished their meal, and argued amicably over the bill, Ianto successfully arguing that he should pay half. Everything Jack thought would be a prompt just seemed to drop into an endless black hole without triggering anything, and he was starting to believe Ianto when he'd said that he had elevated retconning to an art form. In the car, Jack even went so far as to ask Ianto if he had ever considered working for Torchwood, only to receive a blank stare of incomprehension and a curious inquiry as to what Torchwood might be. The frustration, relief, and guilt were building up inside him all the time. He wanted his Ianto, but he also wanted this Ianto as well, and he knew he couldn't have both. By the time they got back to the house and Ianto had proceeded to open the front door, Jack was coming to boiling point, and he shoved Ianto through the door, slammed it shut behind him, and then rammed Ianto up against the wall with enough force to make the pictures rattle. A startled Ianto started to lift his hands, only to have Jack grab his wrists and shove them above his head and out the way, while Jack kissed him with a deep possessiveness that was half desperation. "What's got into you?" Ianto gasped in surprise when Jack eventually let him come up for air. Jack released his wrists and put his arms around him, digging into his buttocks with firm hands and pushing Ianto even harder against the wall as he ground himself against him. Ianto gave an appreciative groan as he felt the hot solidity of Jack's erection rub against him, then changed that to a moan when one of Jack's hands moved to cup and fondle his own stirring cock. "I want to have you," Jack growled between the fierce kisses. "I want to have you right now." Ianto realized that Jack meant exactly what he said as he started to undo Ianto's belt. There was something deeply exciting in seeing the way Jack was rapidly losing control, and knowing that he was the cause. Caught up in the same wave of desire, he scrabbled to catch up. But every time he tried to move, he got pushed back up against the wall with a growl. Jack alternated between plundering his mouth with hot, deep kisses, and biting and sucking at his neck and shoulders as he stripped the clothes off him. "I am going to have love bites and no mistake," Ianto realized dimly through the excitement that was swamping him. This was nothing like the careful consideration that Jack had shown him the previous night, but there was no hint of a threat in anything Jack was doing, only a feeling of unrestrained hunger that was breaking free of some constraint. Ianto could feel nothing but approval as his suit was removed and thrown to one side, with scant regard for how much it had cost him. "Like I care," Ianto decided, as he felt Jack's fingers rake across his hips and grab at his buttocks with bruising force, pushing up against Ianto and letting him feel the heat of Jack's erection through the layers of cloth he still wore. It was a distinctly erotic feeling, and Ianto clawed at Jack's shoulders as he kissed him back with a passion that matched his own. "Get these damn clothes off you," he hissed in frustration. Jack gave a guttural bark of laughter but finally obeyed, shedding his coat to fall onto the floor along with Ianto's clothes. He battered Ianto's hands away when he started work on the shirt, pulling his braces off and unbuckling his own belt. Still kissing Ianto, Jack pulled off his trousers and underwear, pushing off his shoes and socks at the same time. Ianto seized a momentary distraction to do the same with his own socks, set to work on ridding Jack of his shirt, and put his arms around Jack and moulded the other man to him, kissing him before transferring his attention to Jack's shoulders and neck. Both of them were grunting and grasping as they ground their cocks together, But then Jack pulled away, his eyes glazed as he frowned. "Not enough," he hissed as he dragged Ianto forward. "Not enough." Ianto thought he was going to be dragged upstairs, an agenda he was quite happy with, so he was taken by surprise when Jack pushed him down on the stairs and then scrabbled for the lube he seemed to carry with him everywhere. Ianto's eyes widened when he saw the feral glint in Jack's eyes as he popped the top of the tube and poured out a healthy dollop onto his fingers before he leaned forward to push Ianto up a couple of the stairs and then reach between his legs. "You're kidding me! Here?" "Here," Jack agreed in a rough voice. "And now," he said as he claimed Ianto's mouth again and his fingers probed for Ianto's anus. "Oh, bloody hell, this is going to get interesting," Ianto managed to say before he felt the first of Jack's fingers slide inside him, coating him liberally with lubricant. He leaned back, realizing that there was going to be no reasoning with Jack in this mood. He tried to hold on to some sanity, trying to figure out how the hell they were going to do this without him cracking a vertebrae against the stairs, but it didn't take long before he was far more interested in the sensation of Jack's fingers, getting him used to the idea of having something inside him. The thought of what that something was going to be had his insides liquefying with pleasure, and he felt himself unconsciously clenching around Jack's fingers. When he looked down the length of his body, he found his gaze captured by Jack's hot eyes, burning with almost fanatical hunger, and he reached out blindly, tugging at him to come to him. "Na, dieu, Jack." Jack had no way of understanding the Welsh, but he obeyed the physical summons, coming up Ianto's length in a rush to claim a ruthless kiss that left Ianto gasping for more of the same. He felt Jack's cock nudge at his entrance and did his best to relax as he shifted himself, leaning back on his elbows to lift his back up slightly and give Jack the right angle. He heard Jack pull in a deep, ragged breath just before he put his hands on Ianto's hips, and then he was pushing himself in with a slow consideration that was taking all of his self-control, judging from the expression on his face. Ianto swallowed the sounds that threatened to break loose as he felt himself being penetrated for the first time. Part of him wanted to jerk away and get rid of the intrusion that was starting to edge towards the painful, but he made himself relax, and even tried to push down a little. He gave a somewhat shaky smile when he heard Jack's bitten-off groan when he did that, and he tentatively shifted a little to see if he could ease the discomfort. All that earned him was a clamp down on his hips, Jack's fingers digging in as they kept him firmly in place. Once Jack was fully sheathed inside Ianto, he paused to gaze down at the younger man and check that he was all right. He was still a little overwhelmed with the way the lust had ambushed him and torn away all thoughts of slow seductions, but to his relief there was no sign of anything other than the usual first-time discomfort on Ianto's face. While Jack knew this wasn't physically the first time for Ianto, he would appear to have been celibate for a year, and he had no conscious memory of having done it before. Jack was hoping that muscle memory would take over once they got going, but even so he was desperately trying to retain some degree of control and not go too fast. "Why have you stopped?" Ianto asked a trifle breathlessly. "Taking some time to look at you," Jack replied honestly. "I swear you look better every time I see you." He wasn't lying. He never seemed to tire of looking at Ianto, whether dressed or naked, casual or smart, fully in control or laid bare by lust. There didn't seem to be a single moment when the Welshman wasn't looking gorgeous. Right now he was covered with a sheen of sweat, gasping for breath and looking like he was trying to decide whether he was having the time of his life or wanted to punch Jack. With a grin, Jack rolled his hips and gave a small thrust. Ianto jerked and dropped his head back to rest on the stair, smiling and panting at the same time. "You're mine," Jack groaned as he felt the tight heat closing around his throbbing cock. "I want you so bad it hurts." "So have me," Ianto gasped back and deliberately ground down on him. Jack's eyes widened and then he lost the thread of coherence he had been hanging on to. He pulled a little way out and slammed back in, Ianto's yelp and instinctive buck exciting him even more. He had to be crazy doing this here when there was a perfectly good bed less than a minute away, but he didn't care. All that mattered was being inside Ianto and doing his level best to bring him to climax. His thrusts found the right kind of angle, and it wasn't long before Ianto was bracing himself against the stairs and dropping into an answering rhythm that made Jack groan his appreciation. He leaned forward so that his stomach trapped Ianto's cock between them, adding that little bit of friction that was enough to tip him over the edge. He was still shuddering with the aftershocks when Jack came, sending him writhing in mindless appreciation. It took a little while for Jack to recover, and it took Ianto poking him and complaining that he liked being able to breathe, and would Jack please shift a bit to get through. With a sheepish smile, he shifted off the younger man, and the two of them started to half-crawl their way up the stairs. Three-quarters of the way up, they dissolved into mutual giggles, and it was a little while before they recovered enough to get into the bathroom, clean themselves up, and then relocate to the bedroom. "Sorry about that," Jack said apologetically when they were in bed and entangled in an embrace. "I didn't hurt you, did I?" Ianto gave a slow chuckle of amusement. "There might be a bit of carpet burn, but my spine seems to have survived. Are you always this spontaneous?" "Depends on who I'm with," Jack said with a smile. "Sometimes the person I'm with inspires me." He kissed Ianto on the nose, and then savoured the enthusiastic kiss he got in return. "I like doing things off the cuff like that," Ianto agreed. "Life's too short not to take advantage of situations as they come along. You never know what might happen tomorrow. The accident taught me that. I could have died without doing any of the things I daydreamed about." "What do you daydream about?" Jack asked curiously. Ianto shrugged. "Lots of things. Some of them daft, some of them impossible. Some of them I've already done. Others are still on the list. Right now you're at the top of the list." "Me?" Jack said, pulling back to give him a startled look. "Yes," Ianto said with a familiar smirk. He suddenly swept the bedclothes back and swung up and around to straddle Jack, leaning forward to give him an intent look. "Teach me how to please you. Tell me where to touch, how to touch you to give you the most pleasure." His hands had started to drift across Jack's body as he spoke, awakening the hunger that was never far away. "I want to make you beg, hear you scream my name," he continued, his eyes intent. The smirk became a smile when he saw Jack's expression. "You like that, don't you?" "Oh, yeah," Jack said with enthusiasm, running his hands up Ianto's arms and then tugging him down, running his hands up and down Ianto's back and sliding fingers between his buttocks and giving a gasping laugh when Ianto unconsciously pushed up against the intrusion and inadvertently rubbed their bodies together. "But I want the same from you. I want to know everything, every stroke, every kiss, every touch that makes your body sing. Is it a deal?" Ianto gave him the widest, most innocently brilliant smile Jack had ever seen from him. "Deal. Now, how about lesson one?" They slept in the following morning. Even Jack drowsed for several hours, which he considered perfectly natural given the amount of exercise they'd had the night before. He was pretty sure he went to sleep with a grin on his face. He certainly woke up with one, and he spent a few minutes just lying next to Ianto and watching him. In this and this alone, Ianto was the same. The old Ianto had relaxed in sleep and let down his guard, and if it was a good night and the nightmares didn't come to claim him, he looked pretty much the way he did right now. Jack reached out a hand and touched Ianto's face affectionately, enjoying the small prickle of stubble as he traced the line of his cheek and jaw. Ianto's eyelids flickered and he woke up gradually, giving Jack a sleepy smile when he focused on him. "Borda," Jack said with careful gravity. Ianto's eyes widened and the ready laughter leapt into them. "Borda I chi," he answered. He gave a gurgle of amusement when he saw the panic in Jack's eyes. "That just means good morning to you," he said. "Are you going to become a Welsh scholar then?" he continued as he slid up to give Jack a good morning kiss. "Can you teach me the sexy words?" Jack asked hopefully, then made an aggrieved pout when Ianto snorted and gave him a hard poke. They showered together, which led to a considerable delay in their getting breakfast. Once they'd washed up, Ianto turned to give him an uncertain look. "If you want to go and find that friend of yours, I could always do some laundry and go and do some food shopping." Realizing that he couldn't very well abandon the mythical friend he was apparently looking for, Jack agreed reluctantly, accepted the key Ianto gave him, and used the car to drive a little way out of Aberystwyth. Finding a place with a strong signal, he got out of the car, found a comfortable spot to sit, and called Tosh. She answered after the fifth ring, sounding a little breathless. Jack felt himself tense. "Can you talk?" he asked. "Yes, I'm okay. I'm staying with Polly and playing with the dogs." Jack belatedly realized that he could hear the dogs in the background. "What's happened?" "Not sure," Tosh confessed. "Jame turned up last night and made me pack a case. She said something had got Torchwood in a tizzy, but so far as anyone could make out, it wasn't you. It looks like no one knows that you're back yet, Jack, which gives us time. Have you found Ianto?" "Yes, but I'll tell you about that later. Why did Jame send you to Polly? I didn't know she knew about her." "She didn't. She took me to a Torchwood safe house, just in case, but Polly arrived about an hour later and said I'd be safer with her. Something's happening, Jack, but no one seems to know what exactly. Whatever it is, it doesn't seem to be the go-boom kind of crisis. Will you tell me about Ianto?" she said insistently. Jack grinned. Tosh had always been fond of Ianto, and Ianto had often adopted a big brother attitude towards her, which was amusing when you realized that Tosh was the eldest of the two. "I've found him. He's fine, but whatever he did to himself is sticking like glue, and I haven't been able to find the trigger." "Maybe there isn't one," Tosh said after a moment. "The possibility had occurred to me," Jack agreed with a sigh. "You don't sound all that upset about it," Tosh said curiously. "What's happened, Jack?" Jack sighed and dropped his head. "God, you should see him, Tosh. He's so full of light and joy. He shines. No shadows, no grief. Life is one huge adventure for him, and when he looks at me..." His breath caught in his throat. "When he looks at me, he just sees Jack Harkness. No memories, no guilt. I'm just someone he's taken to and likes to be with." "Sounds like you've fallen in love with him all over again." Jack smiled without much humor. "I think I could fall in love with this man if he were a blind, deaf, and dumb midget locked in a box," he said ruefully, then gave a more genuine smile when he heard Tosh's gurgle of amusement. "I'm starting to think that I don't have the right to drag him back into my nasty little world, Tosh. I hurt him so much. Why should I get the happy ever after at his expense?" "Look, you have the rest of this week. I'll let you know if anything develops on this end, but for now, stay there and see what happens. If Ianto wants to remember you, then he will. If he doesn't, then you'll have this week to remember. And you could always go back to see him, even if he doesn't remember." They chatted for a little longer, and then Jack rang off. He stayed where he was for a long time, staring out unseeingly over the green fields. Oddly enough, the conversation with Tosh had crystallized his decision. He wasn't going to try and push Ianto to remember. He didn't have the right to tear this life of his apart for his own selfish needs. He had the rest of this week, and then he would leave. For good. If he let himself come back, the temptation to make Ianto remember would only get worse. For once in his life, Jack was going to do the right thing for the right motives. He just wished it wouldn't hurt quite so much. When he went back to the house, he found Ianto on the internet trying to research sexual techniques. The resulting incoherent attempts at an explanation had him reduced to helpless laughter, and then they spent the rest of the afternoon exploring different sites, with Jack deriving intense delight from the frequently wide-eyed exclamations he got from Ianto. That led to some on-the-spot experimentation, and Jack shoved all the negativity to one side to savor the time he had left. That set the tone for the week that followed. He told Ianto he'd found his friend, and didn't need to spend any more time with him. They quickly fell into a pattern, lying in until mid-morning, often with a spot of lovemaking along the way, then went somewhere in the afternoon. Remembering what Ianto had told him on their first trip, Jack made a point of finding a place out in the country where they spent a leisurely couple of hours making love in the open. They explored the immediate area, with Ianto taking Jack to Aberaeron and introducing him to the honey ice cream that was sold on the quay. Jack immediately went back and bought a tub, and then drove the two of them further along the coast, where they spent an unbelievably messy but enjoyable couple of hours using the ice cream in various inventive ways that weren't widely advertised. They even went to Cardiff. It was Ianto's suggestion rather than Jack's, and Jack found himself twitching uncontrollably when they arrived at the Millennium Center. Nothing happened, though, even when they stopped off at Mimosa for a meal, where they had eaten several times before. They toured the castle, ate dinner at the jazz club, and then spent the night playing forfeit chess, with sexual forfeits, of course, with the result that they overslept and barely made it out of the room ahead of the maid service. Tosh rang a couple of times when they got back to Aberystwyth, but whatever had prodded Torchwood remained as elusive as ever. All Jem had been able to determine was that it was something Torchwood was intensely worried about, but that it had nothing to do with Jack. His name hadn't been mentioned, and no attempts had been made to track down Tosh. It was almost as if they had suddenly become less important in the scheme of things. Jack wasn't sure if he was pleased or insulted. Despite his fervent wish that the Earth stop orbiting the sun, the week uncurled with remorseless inevitability. Jack had seen more of Wales in the past 6 days than he had in the previous century, and every single place had become special, because he had seen it with an Ianto who saw nothing wrong with building sandcastles and Pendine Beach, fighting a mock duel with Jack on the walls of Pembroke Castle, or making love to him under the moonlight of the Standing Stones at Penrhyn. Jack stored up every sensation, every moment of laughter and pleasure, in anticipation of the emptiness that was to come. He knew he would have other sexual partners. He'd had them even when he'd been with Ianto before. It wasn't the same. Sex was just that, a physical act that brought transitory pleasure. Making love was an entirely different thing, having an emotional dimension that deepened and intensified what you experienced. What he had with Ianto couldn't be duplicated by a one-night stand, no matter how exotic the partner or outrageous the actual act. Regardless of his demands to the Almighty, the sun rose pitilessly into the Saturday sky, and Jack watched Ianto wake up for the last time. He'd told Ianto that he would be leaving early Sunday morning. He knew that Ianto had fallen for him, and he despised himself for the fact that he hadn't had the strength of will to walk away the moment he had decided that he wouldn't be trying to reclaim his Ianto. Now he saw the sadness cloud the eyes looking up at him, and cursed the fact that he seemed fated to be the one to bring sadness and grief into Ianto's life. "I'm sorry," he said helplessly. "You have no idea how sorry I am." Ianto managed a smile. "I know. It was stupid of us to do this. I knew I was going to fall for you the moment I met you. If I'd had any sense, I would have walked away after that first day. But no matter how it looks, I'm glad I didn't. I would be the poorer for not having known you." "Oh, God!" Jack groaned before leaning forward to kiss Ianto as gently and fervently as he knew how. "I don't deserve you, but I'm so damn glad I got to have this week." They didn't leave the house that day. About midday, Jack dug through Ianto's CD collection, found one that had Glenn Miller on, and insisted on teaching Ianto to dance with him. Then he downloaded some music from the net and tried to teach him to jitterbug. If the laughter had an edge to it, and both of them were reluctant to let one another go for more than a few minutes at a time, it was something that went unsaid. They went to bed early, and their lovemaking was slow and sensual, with none of the frantic passion or joyous experimentation that had gone before. When the weather broke and it started to rain furiously after sundown, it seemed perfectly apt to Jack as he gathered Ianto in his arms for the last time. Even heaven was crying. He would have preferred heaven to do something a bit more practical. He stayed awake all night, watching Ianto by the light of a candle he'd lit and put on the bedside table. His Torchwood Ianto was lost to him forever, and while he mourned his passing, he would always remember this creature of light that had come out of the shadows in his stead. No matter how bad his days or lonely his nights, he would know that in this place lived his heart and soul, the reason why he would hold the line and keep this world safe. Because this world was the setting for this exquisite jewel, his pearl of great price that he would give everything for. Everything, except the light that shone in Ianto's eyes. He slipped out of bed around 5 in the morning and went to shower and dress. He stood next to the bed when he was ready to leave, wanting one last look and knowing that he was just trying to put off the inevitable. Ianto hadn't stirred, and Jack was relieved that he hadn't woken. "Ianto," he said softly, not wanting to walk away if the other man was actually awake and waiting to hear him say goodbye. There was no sign that Ianto had heard him, and Jack sighed. He started to turn away, then dropped back and got onto the bed with careful deliberation. Maybe Ianto wouldn't hear it, but Jack had to say it. He dropped the lightest of kisses onto Ianto's shoulder. "I wish it didn't have to be this way. Goodbye, Ian. I love you." The body underneath him went into convulsions. Ianto had woken the moment Jack got out of bed. He listened as the other man moved away, and then the shower started. He sighed and kept his eyes closed, but the tears leaked through anyway. He scrubbed at his eyes angrily. He hadn't wanted to make an emotional scene, not when he knew that having to leave was already hurting Jack. He wasn't quite sure why this goodbye had to be a final one, but he trusted Jack enough to believe that there was a good reason. For all he knew, Jack was married and had children back in the States. He wouldn't be the first gay to try and deny his orientation because of social pressures, although Ianto had to admit that if he was in the closet, it was one where he had been practicing his techniques. He had no right to ask or judge, he told himself firmly. Jack had never promised him anything. In fact, he'd gone out of his way to be honest. He'd given Ianto one of the most wonderful weeks of his life, giving him memories he would treasure forever. Anyone else would have had a hard act to follow, of course, but Ianto had got a taste of what life could be with the right partner. If he was very lucky, he might just find someone. Ianto sighed. "Right, I'm going to find someone else that gorgeous, that clever and funny and considerate, and downright incandescently hot. Who am I trying to kid?" Every instinct he had was telling him to go after Jack and beg him to stay, or to give him an email address or something. Only his pride, and the knowledge that having to refuse him would only hurt Jack more, kept him lying where he was and pretending to sleep. Jack eventually came back into the room. Ianto was so sensitized to his presence now that he knew exactly where he was standing. It was almost as if Jack was magnetic north to some compass deep within him. He did his best to stay relaxed when he felt the bed dip under Jack's weight, but the touch of his lips on his shoulder almost undid him. Then he heard Jack say the magic words that had very carefully not been said during the week. "And the world cracked wide open, and hell spewed out." Ianto convulsed as his mind seemed to catch fire. Strange, horrific images boiled up from a darkness that had opened up inside him, shredding his sanity as they slammed into him and played against his inner eye like some ghastly home movie shot by a mad god. He was dimly aware that he was screaming and flailing around as he tried to escape the memories as they sought out their rightful place inside his head. Memories! They were memories, he realized, as more and more of them whirled and blasted through his mind. He didn't want to remember, didn't want these horrors living inside his head. He realized that someone was holding him, and then he realized that it was Jack. Jack looking white-faced and grief-stricken and terrified all at once. Jack who was the monster. Jack who was the man who had used him and cast him aside as and how it pleased him, knowing that Ianto would answer his whistle whenever he called again. Jack, who had built a sandcastle with him. Jack, who had dared him to play hopscotch in the Roald Dahl, and then had demanded 2 games out of 3 when he'd promptly lost. Jack, who had tried to bake him raspberry cookies as a surprise, and then wanted to know in outraged tones why they had all turned purple. Jack, who had told him that he loved him. The one thing Ianto had never thought to guard himself against, because he'd never expected to hear the words from the captain. He reached out blindly, and Jack was there, holding him and telling him that he was sorry, that he hadn't want this, that he'd wanted Ianto to stay the way he was. But Ianto was drowning under the torrent of memories, each darker and more terrible than the last, and Jack's voice was lost amongst the screams that he belatedly realized were coming from him. He choked them back, whimpering with terror, then felt Jack's mouth meld itself to his, and he kissed back, frantically praying for the strength to survive what was happening to him. Light, hot, golden light like the brightest summer day. The room was suddenly full of it. No, Ianto realized a split second later. Jack was the source of the light. It blazed out of him like a physical force that swept around Ianto and sank into him, bringing warmth and calm that settled over the chaos in his head like a heavy blanket. The shrieking demons in his head became muffled, were silenced, and finally suffocated under the loving heaviness of the light, because the light was love and need and a longing all rolled up into one and shot through with the unique signature of Jack Harkness. Finding his balance again, Ianto reached eagerly for it, and found it was reaching for him just as frantically. Their physical embrace became something else, something far more profound and elemental. Safe and secure in that shimmering ocean, Ianto let go. Jack held on to Ianto as the sun rose and the hours slid by, and tried to tell himself that he wasn't scared. He decided that that was the truth. He wasn't scared. He was terrified. After everything he'd done, after all the bullshit about being self-sacrificing and letting Ianto live his life in peace, it looked like he'd driven the man to the brink of insanity with a single thoughtless phrase. "I love you." Ianto had guarded himself against every possible eventuality that occurred to him. Having Jack tell him that he loved him hadn't made the list. What did that tell Jack about how Ianto had seen their relationship? It was true that Jack had never told Ianto he loved him, since he wasn't in the habit of lying to his lovers, and at the time he hadn't realized he was in love with Ianto. Hell, he hadn't believed himself to be capable of love any more. So while Ianto had considered the possibility that Jack might return, and even that they might have sex again, it had never entered his head that Jack would tell him that he was in love with him. "If you survive this, I am going to tell you that I love you at least once a day, once an hour, every other second. Please, God, let him wake up. Let him wake up sane." What must it have been like to have 5 years of memories suddenly crash into your mind, especially when those 5 years included aliens, slaughtered people, cannibals, betrayal, death, petty cruelties, monumental neglect, heartbreak, and all kinds of fun things like that, all tearing into a mind that had forgotten about the dark underbelly of life. The worst kind of rape, and Jack had been the one to trigger it. He'd be lucky if Ianto gave him the time to say he was sorry before he threw him out. He felt Ianto start to stir and started praying again with a vengeance. "Just this once, please. Just this once, get your act together and do your job and provide a miracle. I'll stay in my hell if you'll just give Ianto a halfway decent heaven." Ianto's eyes flickered open, and he very slowly focused on Jack before groaning and closing his eyes again. Jack tensed, then blinked when Ianto reached up to give him a weak thump on the shoulder. "Take note, Captain. Living 5 years in a matter of seconds is not a good way to recover memories. If you hadn't been here, I think I would have lost it." "Ianto?" Jack asked, softly incredulous. He got a shaky smile in return, but it was a smile, he realized in rising delight. "Yes, sir. A little battered, but here." He reached up a hand that trembled visibly to run it through his hair. "I'm still a little dislocated, but I think that's because I'm temporarily two people inside one head. It should fade as I reintegrate, but I don't think anyone's recovered 5 years of worth of memories in one go before, so I'm in unknown territory." He might have said more, but he was distracted by a drop of water landing on his cheek. Startled, he looked up to see that Jack was crying silently, his eyes shut tight as he continued to hold Ianto. Seeing that, some of the odd mental double vision Ianto had been experiencing faded, and he reached up a hand to cup the side of Jack's face. "Shh, shh, Jack, it's okay. It's okay." He shifted position slightly, pushing himself up so he could embrace Jack as an equal. To his surprise, Jack leaned into the embrace, holding on to him like he was the only thing in the world. "I was so scared," Jack eventually mumbled. "I thought I'd lost you. I thought I'd killed you. Don't leave, Ianto. Don't go back into the dark and the shadows. I need you both. I need the dark and the light, but I don't want the dark to win. Please don't die. Don't go down into the dark because of me. Love you so much. Need you so much." Ianto let him ramble as he held him and crooned softly in his ear, frowning as he tried to decipher what the words meant. Gradually he realized that Jack was grieving what he perceived to be the death of the Ianto that had existed for the year since he'd left. Remembering some of the things they had done in the previous week, Ianto blinked and smiled in disbelief. If anyone would have told him that he would have done half of those things with Captain Jack Harkness, he would have politely offered them the name of a good therapist. Yet they had done them, and Jack had not only gone along with it enthusiastically, he'd come up with half of them in the first place. He'd been a completely different person to the Captain Ianto remembered from before. No, Ianto corrected himself immediately. Not different. He'd still been Jack, but he'd been a Jack in full sunlight, carefree and open, not the creature of shadow and pain that had lived in the deeps of the hub and watched the world with wary, angry eyes. Ianto's mind was clearing rapidly now as things settled back into their proper place. He could recall all the ugliness and horror that had marked him before, but now they were reaching him through a year of sanity and honest fun. He'd been surrounded by people who liked and respected him. He'd seen nothing but living bodies, and the closest he'd come to a corpse was on TV. He'd lived an ordinary life and done ordinary things. He had a buffer zone between him and the ugliness of his past. And he'd had a week where he'd fallen in love with Jack all over again. And this time, Jack had fallen in love with him. Jack had finally fallen silent, but he was still clinging to Ianto almost frantically. It occurred to Ianto that Jack had been just as traumatized by what had just happened, so it was up to him to get things on the path to normality. He smiled as he dropped a kiss onto Jack's head. "I'm going to have to work some notice at the library, of course," he said in a conversational tone of voice. "It wouldn't be fair on the others to just walk out on them. But I have a feeling the girls, at least, were hoping for a fairy tale ending where you sweep me off my feet and cart me off to live a life of unbridled luxury and debauchery." He felt Jack start a little and very slowly start to relax. "And don't think I'll be coming back just to make the coffee and pick up after you lot," he continued. "I'll still make the coffee, because I've tasted the swill you make, and God forbid that I should let Tosh anywhere near the kitchen again after what she did to the microwave. And it goes without saying that anyone who touches the archives without my express permission will suffer an obscenely creative end. Which leads me to wonder what horrors have been visited on the filing system while I've been away. But I'm the heroic type, and will probably only cry a little bit. You can clean up after yourselves, though. I've worked somewhere where someone else does the cleaning for a year, and I find I quite like that. Oh, and I'll be wanting to come out into the field every now and then, because really, Jack, you need someone around to stop you from flinging yourself into the jaws of death every 5 minutes. It's downright habit-forming, and it can't be good for you." "Ianto?" Jack asked in a small voice. "Yes, Jack? Does this mean you're coming back with me?" Ianto smiled at the hopeful note in Jack's voice. "Of course it does, you daft bugger. Where else would I be except by my captain's side?" He shifted slightly so that his mouth was right next to Jack's ear. "Where else but by the side of the man I love?" Jack came alive in his arms. It was a lovely sight to see for the few seconds Ianto was clear-headed enough to appreciate it. Then Jack was kissing him and the world went into soft focus, and Ianto was absolutely positive that somehow, somewhere, there was background music swelling. Then he told the outside world to go away as he pulled Jack down for a celebration of his rebirth.